This morning's public read comes from 1 Samuel chapter 9. So we're going to be unpackaging 1 Samuel here, chapter 9 this morning. So I need to get there. Okay, we're going to read here this morning just the first 14 verses. Now, by way of quick review, in chapter 8, we find the nation demanding a king. And Samuel brings this heart-wrenching demand to the Lord. And the Lord tells him, give the people what they want. But you're going to tell them what kind of king they're going to have. And the fact that I'm going to pick the king. And that first king was Saul. Not Saul the Tarshish, but Saul the Benjamite. Well, Samuel tells the people everything that the king is going to do to them. He's going to tax them. He's going to take their land. He's going to take a portion of their crops. He's going to draft their boys into military service. He's going to draft their girls to be servants and maids and cooks. And it didn't faze them one iota. They wanted that king. Well, they're going to get one. And let's see what happens. Verse 1. Now, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechoroth, the son of Ephiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. He had a son whose name was Saul, a choice among young men, and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalishah, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses, and take thought for us. And he said unto him, behold now, there is in the city a man of God, a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, pray adventure, he shall show us our way that we should go. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man inquired of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer, for he that is called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was. And as they went up into the city, up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, he is. Behold, he is in before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as ye come into the city, ye shall straightway find him, before he go up to the high place to eat, for the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that he bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time ye shall find him. And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. Well, may the Lord bless his word, and please be seated. Now, to my knowledge, the city of Shiloh here is not mentioned. When you read your Old Testament carefully, you find out that when the Israelites finally got into the land, but before Jerusalem was conquered, way before David would make it his headquarters and then eventually bring the Ark of the Covenant to the city of Jerusalem, the people had the tabernacle set up in the city of Shiloh. But Shiloh, unfortunately, was destroyed. And archaeological evidence to this day has excavated that particular city. They have found the city of Shiloh. And guess what they found in the city of Shiloh in their excavations? They found a pretty good-sized altar that was located in this city. And you kind of wonder whether or not this was the altar that the Israelites probably used to do sacrifice at that time. But notice in our reading, they're going up a hill where there's an altar to perform a sacrifice, okay? And And then part of the sacrifice was apparently a time of festive eating, a time of community, a time of gathering around the prophet for whatever words of grace, kindness, or admonishment that he could give them. I find that amazing. Because we just got done in a series in Deuteronomy 16 where God said, when it came to my altar, don't put it next to a grove and don't put an idol next to that grove or in the grove and then take it and then put it next to my altar. But I find that quite interesting that it says here in that verse 14, they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. The high place. That's amazing. Well, what do we find here? We find the providence of God now being played out. The people have asked for a king. Samuel tells them what the king is going to do, and apparently it doesn't faze the people one iota. They really don't know what they're going to get themselves into. But nonetheless, they demand a king, and God says, give them the green light. And so now, the people are sent away, and so now the people apparently may be just simply waiting. How is this king going to be made? Who's it going to be? When's it going to happen? What do we do? How do we set up the coronation? There may have been a million questions running through the people's minds when Samuel dismissed them in 1 Samuel 8:22. But now, God's providence plays. We have a man named Kish, and we are told in that verse 1, he was a mighty man of power. So he must have had enough wealth, enough prestige, probably enough property, enough land, if you will. Back in those days, land and livestock, determined the wealth of an individual. Not basically silver and gold. Now that would have helped. But if you possessed a lot of livestock, like Abraham, and if you possessed a lot of land, okay, that made you a rich person in the eyes of that type of culture or in that society. Now let's look at that verse 2. Let's look at the man Saul. He had a son, Saul, okay, whose name was Saul, a choice young man. That sounds pretty good. That's a pretty good resume for someone to be a king, right? And goodly. Now, it doesn't say godly, but it says goodly. So there must have been something about maybe his looks. We go a bit further. There was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. Wow. Now, is that hyperbole? Like, you know, while it's raining cats and dogs and the snowflakes are as big as silver dollars? We use the figure of speech to express a little bit of exaggeration. Well, is this a statement of exaggeration or is it a matter of fact? Well, I think it tells you what we're talking about. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. So I think what we're being given here is a physical, external description of Saul, son of Kish. I don't see, and I could be wrong, I don't see character mentioned. I don't see character. You know, what is implied by the word goodly? And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. Well, what about Samuel? My word, Samuel's the prophet. Last judge. Was Saul more spiritual than Samuel? I don't think so. Because Samuel's going to be the one to anoint Saul. Saul doesn't anoint Samuel. Samuel's going to anoint Saul. So I could be wrong, but I'm looking at that verse 2, and I'm looking mainly at the external description of somebody that would easily have won first place in the best dressed man and the best handsome man of that day. And then we have this providential ditty, the lost donkeys of Kish. And so it's quite apparent with the pronoun we and us or they or them, whatever, that Saul didn't go out there in the boonies all by himself. He had his servant with him. So they're high and low. They're just simply canvassing the area, and they're coming up shortchanged on finding daddy's livestock. But then the servant, bless his heart, in verse 6 says, "Behold now, there is in the city a man of God, and he's an honorable man." Now notice how Samuel here in verse 6 is described. Honorable. Well, that's a character trait. We don't find that in verse 2 about Samuel. I mean Saul, excuse me. It just mentions his physique, if you will. "All that he saith cometh surely to pass." So he was a true prophet. Whatever he said came to pass. So not only was he honorable, he was a true prophet. "Now let us go thither, pray adventure, he can show us our way that we should go." Saul realizes, you know, we don't have a gift. And the servant comes up with this piece of money, this particular coin, and that would be suffice, apparently, to give to the man of God. But then notice the verse 9. They got this little parenthesis. They want you to know something at this time in ancient Jewish history. "Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time a seer." Now, if you read older Bible commentaries, you will find the old timers, when referring to any of the prophets, sometimes uses the word seer versus prophet. So don't get alarmed, because here you're being told at one time that was a term, that was the nomenclature for a prophet, a seer. Well, by the time we come to their history, that word now has changed from seer to a prophet. But both words can be used interchangeably with nothing wrong in the context. Okay? Then verse 11, another providential thing. Here's these maids drawing water. And then they direct Saul and his servant to a particular city, must have been nearby, and there they could hook up with Samuel. And that's where we'll leave off this dynamic duo of Saul and his servant trying to find their daddy's livestock, and they're going to seek an answer from the prophet and seer Samuel. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.